beautiful.
Of course I do. I'm a princess and this is my tiara.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I'm ready to party.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Weekly Reveal with Jade Springart, Ann Carlini, Lynn Kuhn, and Erica Banis.
And the four of us are back together again. Yes. Erica, welcome back.
Hi, Ann.
Lynn.
What's up? Group hug.
Yes. If only we could get these microphones out of the way.
Oh.
Jade, Lynn.
A microphone won't stop me.
Yes.
In for the real thing.
So we're having a beautiful, pleasant day here in the Motor City. Unfortunately, the southern half of the United States not faring too well. Anybody's relatives or friends in the path of Hurricane Matthew this week?
My friend Karen lives in Florida, and she did check in yesterday on Facebook to notify everyone she was safe.
Good.
I should really check on my uncle then, shouldn't I? Oh, God. I didn't even think about that. I'm like, oh, crap, Mark lives in Florida.
Yeah.
Should
really
be concerned.
It seems like it kind of, it wasn't as bad in Florida as I think they had projected it to be, but now it's coming up the coast, the Carolinas and what have you, so... thinking about them, hoping everyone is safe and being smart.
Well, for some reason, the Carlinis migrate to Florida. So I had a whole bunch of family down there.
Yeah. Are they all right?
And friends. Everybody's cool. They're a little more inland. And I guess the eye wall of the storm, which is what everybody was concerned about, where the strongest winds were, kind of followed up the coast. And then, of course, is slamming right into two of my favorite cities on the planet, Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
Charleston.
And I'm hoping that everything is okay as of today, because, man, those are two incredible cities.
Yeah, I think their biggest concern is flooding.
Yeah, and some of those people did not want to leave, and they had to tell them, if you stay, we can't get to you. Don't call.
S-O-L.
And there's no hospital to even bring you to for a medical emergency.
No, you're going
to
need a canoe.
Because those outlying areas where the, well, yeah, they're going to need more than that. Some of these people, I mean, they're like at sea level. And
yeah.
But their choice. So hopefully, the death toll is already way up there and hopefully everybody will be safe. Okay. As was Kim Kardashian. What else are we going to lead with?
Right.
It is just, of course, dominating the news, even though it happened a week ago. Mm-hmm. So let's just do a little round table. So Erica, Kardashian, hoax or not?
I don't think it's a hoax. I like to think it's not a hoax because this could easily, if it is a hoax and people find out about it, it is the worst PR imaginable. I do feel like it is incredibly careless because you can't just be on social media with all your tiaras and your baubles, just be like, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the short version of it.
So we have one, it's a reality. And Lynn, what is your take?
Okay, you ready? We had talked about previously a while ago when I was doing the celebrity report, and I was talking about Kylie Jenner getting robbed and that she puts her entire life on social media. We know where her kitchen is. We know where her bathroom is. So to piggyback on Erica's point, I mean, and I follow Kim on everything. I like love to hate her. I want her body, but I hate her for it. It's weird. You know, most of the reason everyone follows Kim Kardashian. But anyways, she puts everything. There is not anything hidden from her life on social media. And it was reported that it was the $10 million in jewelry, but it was only $5.6 million. And it's being said, though, that
trash.
Every day that she hides off of social media, she's losing $1 million a month.
Is she like hiding right now?
Yeah, she's been hiding off social media. She's the only person who didn't hide off of social media was Kylie, though. She was posting selfies like, hey, look at me. But everyone else was very quiet. But money-wise, they're saying, though, that if she comes back, that this could be a huge moneymaker. This is absolutely going to turn around
for
her.
If she comes back, she will be
back. Well, she will come back because she has contract to post and stuff like that. But she's now hired a full-time bodyguard. So she's not paying out more money to have a full-time bodyguard than she was just part-time before.
Well, before we get to what we are going to predict for the future of the Kardashians, Jade, was it a hoax or not?
Well, here's the thing. I am a firm believer in the Kardashian conspiracy theory. I did read an article that had said that it was possibly an inside job. And so I don't know. I don't know, Kris Jenner. Did you set this up? Is this a publicity stunt to get people talking about you? Are you guys jealous because your names haven't been in the news? You know, Kanye's just doing his tour. A couple of shows got canceled. There's nothing really major going on with the Kardashians. The drama with Tyga and Kylie and Blac Chyna, all that's kind of just fizzled out at this point. So I don't know. I do agree. And Lynn and I talked about this yesterday, because I was stalking my own social media pages, and I had like realized that like some of the pictures that I post, like you can see my entire house, you can see my kitchen, you can see everything, and you really do need to be careful of, you know, what you're posting and what's behind you in the background and things like that. And so I think that that obviously can play into that. But I mean, come on. If it was that easy to get up to the Kardashian front door with a gun, are you kidding me? No way. I don't believe it.
Okay.
I think it was either an inside job or they set it up. It's a publicity stunt.
One of the things they do tell people about social media and they warn you about is not to post pictures while you're actually on vacation, because people know your house is empty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge one. That's been for years. People have been told that.
My house is never empty for one reason or another, so I don't worry about it. But I do worry about like my license plate number getting in the shot, you know, the background. I'm super concerned about that. But being in radio all my life, I have had stalkers. And so I'm just hypersensitive, more so than the average person would be. You know, it's like, oh, well, this is my beautiful home. Well, of course, you're proud of it.
Right.
But so, you know, just like this lesson that we've just learned from the Kardashians. This was, you know, an old style hotel. I've been to Europe and, you know, as great as their police forces are, and they are superb. You know, a lot of those buildings are not updated. They're not like technically advanced with the cameras like you would think. I do probably think the concierge maybe had something to do with it.
I agree.
Maybe not. But there were five guys.
Was the concierge Kris Jenner?
In disguise.
Yeah, right.
In disguise. But I think that it is possible that she got a little bit too comfortable. You know, she felt like she had enough security. Ironically, the guy who kissed her ass.
That idiot.
In the street, the same guy who picked up Gigi Hadid. This is like that hoax guy.
Yeah.
Got that close to her just days before that. Her personal bodyguard pummeled him. But nonetheless, he got that close.
Right.
That should have been a huge warning sign.
Well, what should be noted about this hotel is the fact that it's famous for being so private. Like, it doesn't have an address. Like, it is supposed to be so incredibly secure. And there are cameras, you know, in the complex, outside of it. And they keep saying that they've searched the surveillance footage. They found nothing. So that means that somebody who knew about that hotel knew where the cameras were. Like, I do believe it's an inside job, but not like...
Like an inside hotel job, not an inside Kardashian
not
job.
Not an inside conspiracy, we need attention job. I do feel like, yeah, there's something amok.
Yeah, oh, there's definitely... I mean, that's just me feeding into the, you know, the continuation of our conspiracy theory of the Kardashians. But it is crazy, though, because being in the public eye, your life is so much different, especially in the world of social media. And it goes for us being in radio. Like, if I want to disappear, you know, I've been going through some stuff the last couple of weeks. I want to disappear. I don't want to be on social media. I don't want certain people seeing what I'm doing. And I can't, because this is my job. My job is to be out and about. And you look at other people, like, you know, just any average Joe who's just got an average job. They work at the grocery store, whatever. No one's, you know, their friends are looking at their social media, but it's not a part of their job. It's not a part of their day to day. I mean, there are people that know where I am, who I am with, and what I'm doing at all times. If you want to know where I'm at on a Friday night, am I working with the Riff? Go to the website. That's where I am. I'm out in Roseville. I'm out in Taylor. This is what I'm doing. I'm posting pictures. That's what our job is to do. And it freaked me out last night. I was freaking out because I was, like I said, I was stalking through my own social media, my Riff Facebook page, which goes back to about 2012, and like the photos of my house and my backyard and my friends' houses. And it was like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. And even when I'm not working, I'm posting up at the golf course with my friends, tagging the golf course. Like, you can find me anywhere. And well, that's a scary thought.
Who will get to the bottom of this? Not the gendarme, not the French police.
it'll be the insurance company.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
The insurance company who has to pay out that $5.6 million.
They're way better detectives than the actual police. Are you kidding me? When my car was stolen, the police did not care. They were like, well, that's unfortunate for you. Glad you figured out who the guy was and where he was at, but we don't care. That insurance company was like, we need receipts. We want to know where you were. We want the ticket stubs from where you were. We want the receipts from all the things that you purchased after your car was stolen. We want to know what you did earlier in the day. Why weren't you with your family? Why did you drive down separate? Oh, they wanted to know everything.
Yeah, so that's who's going to get to the bottom of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, going back to Jade's point of the whole, you know, Kardashian conspiracy. Conspiracy with a K. You know, it does make you question things, because why would you steal that ring, which has received so much publicity? It's not like you can go and pawn that. People are going to
know. Right, or wear it.
Yeah.
She has been posting, here's the thing though, she's been posting Snapchat videos as of recently with her ring, and she's going out like mink jackets and stuff. And the snap, it's almost as if she is literally snapping just the ring. I've been watching it over the last couple weeks. She's taken the ring and she'll rub her hands over stuff, and it's just a snap of her hand with her ring. And I was like, damn, if I could just steal that ring. And then when this happened, I was like, no way.
No way. I could have just stolen the ring.
Someone else took my idea. But they were saying that because this happened at 3 a.m., that her security now, there will be no more gaps. She will no longer ever be alone again.
Remember, though, who you're talking about. These are professional thieves who have access to, they don't walk into a pawnbroker.
Like the Italian job.
These are people who can steal paintings and sit on them for a decade, 2 decades. Many more. I mean, they know how to fence these objects. And of course, what are you going to do with that ring? You're not going to keep it intact. You're going to tear it apart unless you've already got
just
a
like
buyer who wants it and sent you in to get it.
I don't know anything really expensive, so I don't know about all that jazz.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I have these sunglasses. These sunglasses set me back a little bit. Someone can take those. $150. Yeah.
So how long is it going to be before the Kardashians get back on social media, Lynn?
I give it another week. Another week. And it could be even less than that. I'm going 4 more days. 4 more days.
I think, a week minimum, a month max. No more than a month.
I'm saying Monday they're back on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, back to work. Like, that's their job. Their job is social media. Yeah. Our job is to show up here at the radio station on Monday morning and do what we got to do. Their job is to wake up in the morning and post on social media. If Kim Kardashian's not posting on social media, then what the hell is she doing?
Raising her babies.
No, she's not. And it's funny you say that, because there was a meme that I saw either late last night or this morning. And it was like, when you forget you have a kid. And it's this picture of Kim walking out of this building and she's looking fabulous and she's posing for the cameras, and she opens, the doors open for the car, and she goes to get into it, and she sets something down, and then she promptly turns around, walks back into the building, and comes out with the kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm saying Monday, they're back on social media. That is what their job is. She's not raising that kid.
Yeah. Her overall brand, they were talking to a financial consultant online, and they were saying that her overall brand is generating at least $1 million a month just through her posts, just the basic posts. And that's not anything specifically being contracted with companies. And that she presumably gets about anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 for each appearance she does.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she is losing a lot of money doing this. But like they said, as long as Kris Kardashian does this the right way, which you know she will, this is going to be huge. Because the moment we all hear, oh, Kim posted her photo again, we're all going to see what it is.
Oh, yeah, everyone wants to see what the first photo
she's
after
she's
been.
She's going to have a Coke in one hand, a Mountain Dew in the other.
Right.
She's got a Burger King hat on. Coco Chanel, like, underwear. Like, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like, what the hell?
Exactly. Exactly.
There was a statement, and I don't know if this came right from her or not, but far be it from me to criticize someone who's been in that situation. I certainly never have. I hope to God I never am. But they said that she was afraid of being raped. And I thought, wow, my first thought, since I do have 2 children, was don't orphan my children.
Right.
Don't kill me. I'm a mom, which I guess she did say repeatedly.
They got 2 kids, don't they?
It scares me.
Yes.
Even talking
no one
about
ever
it,
talks about the other
too.
Baby.
So
well, he's
I,
a baby. He's not doing nothing
much yet.
He doesn't
have a personality or like
cute.
A good look yet.
He's just adorable.
Still going through image consulting?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I have just thought that was an odd
thing. Yeah.
It would be almost like, I don't care what you do to me, just leave me alive.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's
right,
a good
just
point.
Leave me alive and don't touch my kids.
I thought that was an odd thing.
Leave my kids alone.
That she was in a robe and...
Of course she was in a robe and nothing else, looking fabulous. I'm telling you what, especially after you, Erica, just said that there's no footage of this, there's security cameras at this, and there's no footage. I'll tell you right now, that ring is in Kim's lockbox under the bed. Chris was like, listen, we're going to tell people that you got robbed. There's no footage. We're going to say that this was super... high-tech thief that knows exactly what they're doing, but in reality, it's nothing happened. We just put the ring in a lockbox and tossed it out to sea or something. It's going to resurface. It's going to float up like the necklace in Titanic.
Jade and I had spent the last... We went to a concert Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday was supposed to be Kanye back again, but this time at the Palace. And so I'd said to Jade, do you want to go? We'll make it, 4 days in a row. And she's like, I don't know. And then this whole thing happened. And the damn concert got canceled. Now it's not till December 22nd.
No, I don't think that the Kanye concert didn't get canceled, though, because
family
of this.
Issue. Family
was
issues.
Oh, yeah.
Emergency.
The Alessia Cara concert was on Thursday. That was the one you were trying to get me to go to.
Because Kanye canceled.
Yeah. We already saw Kanye. I'm not going to see Kanye again.
We ate dinner and sat on the couch, if anyone's curious.
That is exactly what we did.
So speaking of concerts, Lady Gaga announced that she's going to be the Super Bowl entertainment, and she also has a brand new album out called Joanne, which she is going to promote in dive bars. It's going to be in 3 different cities. The first one is in Nashville. But now I read that this isn't really her idea, but this is sponsored by her tour partner, Bud Light, which kind of takes away the ambiance.
Yeah.
And Green Day just recently did this and wanted to do a club tour, which they had booked a show in Detroit at a venue that holds about 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And then had to cancel it due to illness, a virus, which we have suffered from here in this building.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen family suffer from it as well. So I don't believe that is a hoax.
Right.
I think they were really sick. But then they had to reschedule. So this is my question, is that here Lady Gaga is in this great place to see her sitting up on a small stage at the piano, which is where you really want to see her perform.
Right.
How do we get into these shows? I mean, they really just block out the public.
You need to be friends with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. It's a publicity stunt. Yeah, you got to know somebody. It's no different than, GNR's tour at the Troubadour.
Yep.
Except it wasn't, sponsored by Bud Light, not to my knowledge, at least. But, it's another way to help promote the album. And I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great promotional tactic. I took part in a big promotional thing earlier this week when I went to a coffee shop that I've never been to because it was rebranded as Luke's Diner because I love Gilmore Girls and it's being rebooted by Netflix. So, promotional crap works. It's just I would love to see Lady Gaga in a dive bar because when are you ever going to see her in that intimate of a setting to the point where, I could be like, just touched your boob.
Right.
I'd get promptly kicked out.
Even just to say it, just to say that you did that.
Yeah. I could see just how... Okay, first of all, can we talk a hot second about her hot pants, her denim jeans? Is anybody else getting phantom chafing just watching her wear those?
Yeah.
They're probably not actually denim, though. Jeggings.
What's up with the pants? I never seen it.
She's wearing these, like high-waisted denim shorts, but they're... really high cut to the point like they look like
you mean like Daisy Dukes,
like way more than Daisy Dukes,
but
like
high-waisted Daisy Dukes,
yeah, but like way more, like to the point like if I went to see her at this dive bar and she's wearing those hot pants, I could see just how close her bikini line is from getting waxed if she gets a full Brazilian or not.
But that's Lady Gaga. I mean, we're used to
right.
that from her.
I just really wanted to talk about it because seriously,
oh, I'm sure she's chafing.
It's
she's
gotta
probably
hurt
got baby
like
powder
a mother.
Baby powder.
Anyone else? No, just me?
What horrifies me is they say mom jeans are coming back in.
Oh, they've been back.
Yeah.
That high-waisted stuff off, so uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it's back. Everyone, I remember Jessica Simpson was real high-waisted there for a hot minute.
I love high-waisted pants, man.
Yeah, you got to do them right, though. She did them when she was like big girl status, and that was like, oh, Jessica, what are you doing? We are not used to looking at you like that. Ooh, girl, put it. cover that camel toe.
Oh, okay.
Put it away.
I do agree, though, that those small places, though, that is just priceless. See these performers. I always said that I would pay an ungodly amount of money to see the Rolling Stones in a small venue. I would pay zero to see them in an arena. They are a band that, first of all, one of the worst live bands ever. But if you saw them in a small, on a small stage with, say, about 2,000, 3,000 people, their sound would resonate. And if they could sit down and talk about their music, talk to the crowd, when you have that arena style, I'm sorry, that music just doesn't hold up. That was for Monsters of Rock.
Yeah.
That was for electric guitars, not the opening chords of Satisfaction.
Right.
But speaking of the Stones, what we like to dub Old Cella, Desert Trip is happening right now out there in Indio, California. It was a takeoff of Coachella, and they told people that this show was totally sold out. No one could get tickets. Okay, we're talking about the Stones, Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, The Who, Neil Young, but now, amazingly, you can get tickets half price on StubHub.
They didn't play this correctly, all the scalpers, because they probably just assumed that... You know, it's different than...
I love when the scalpers get screwed.
I do, too. You know, it's different than, like, a scalper buying all the tickets to a certain city venue of, a national tour. You know, like, no one's going to spend that type of money. Like, if I'm traveling from Detroit to California, I'm not going to drop a buttload of money on the ticket. Then I got to travel. Then right. I got to pay for lodging. Right. They did not play that correctly. Stupid decision.
Not only that, who are you appealing to but the baby boomers? So
right.
You're talking your core audience is over 50. Mm-hmm. So you're asking them to go to a 3-day festival and do what? Stand?
In the desert.
Are you kidding me?
Erica just showed me some photos, though.
I got to walk, like, how far to the restrooms? And
Here's the deal, though, Anne. There's a fantastic gallery I put together over at Rift.com highlighting the first weekend of Desert Trip. I almost called it Old Cella. And I'm like, that's not its real name. That's not its real name. This is fancy as balls.
Okay? I mean,
the amenities
gorgeous.
Are
gorgeous.
Insane. It is, like, I don't like festivals because, well, I don't like dealing with lots of people, especially lots of people who can't handle their booze or drugs. But this, like, it's spotless.
Handle your drugs, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. At Old Cella, it'll be blood pressure medication.
Yeah,
that's
right.
About the extent of it.
So, possibly someone ODing on Viagra.
But, like, it's stunning. Like, just the food that's available, like, all the vendors, there's, like, activities. There's an on-site art gallery. Like, this is nice. Look at this, Anne.
It's
check
beautiful.
Out.
And the fireworks, some
look
of the most
that.
Amazing fireworks at a festival I've ever seen.
Yeah. You're not going to see, like, that person isn't going to be falling down drunk puking on someone's butt at some point. Like, this is, like, you have to have your stuff together to go to Desert Trip.
I heard that they were offering a tent with full amenities for $10,000.
Oh, just a cool $10,000. No big deal.
Yeah, but when you have like old rich people, hell yeah, they're going to do that.
Yeah, but are there enough old rich people to fund this? You know what I'm saying?
Everything's like, sold out.
Right, but all those scalpers are now selling the tickets for half the face value on the secondary sites. They sold out to a bunch of robots, and now they can't sell them.
Yeah, and those are like the general admission stuff. Like all the fancy crap, people bought those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Single day tickets for today went as low as $159. And
wow.
That's for Paul McCartney and Neil Young.
I would have gone to that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I think I would have went if
oh,
I could have.
Yeah.
But it would have cost me $10,000 because
right.
We would have had to have the RV. We had to have some place for my husband to chill while I was watching the bands.
Right.
I've seen Paul McCartney a couple times live, and it was cool to say that I've done it, but I would not spend crazy money to go do it. No, absolutely not. Get on YouTube.
Well, coming up on the Weekly Reveal, we're going to transition into a more, champagne problems. The Celebrity Report is coming up with Lynn Kuhn. That's next on the Weekly Reveal.
This is the Weekly Reveal.
Here we go. Boom. Shema.
We're back on the Weekly Reveal with Jade, Ann, Lynn, and Erica.
Thanks for tuning into the Weekly Reveal. We're so happy to have the four of us back in studio. Lynn, can you actually do a celebrity report this week without mentioning the Kardashians?
Oh, yeah. I've got some crazy stuff going on here, non-Kardashian related. We got it all out of the way. We're going to talk about Tupac. We're going to get ghetto. Yeah. We're going to take it to the streets. Tupac signed a Bible. that he was raiding, that he was, every celebrity report, you know, I can't speak. We get to my celebrity report, can't speak. Anyways, Tupac, of course, spent some time in jail. We remember back in the day.
Yes.
Not recently.
No, back in the day, because he's taking a dirt nap now.
Yep.
He's in his dirt nap.
That is the second time I've heard that phrase this week, and I've never heard it before in my life.
My mom says that. That's where I got that from.
A dirt nap?
Mm-hmm. My mom said that one time. Yeah,
I was so like, morbid.
Mom,
now.
That's morbid, right? Anyways, yeah. Continue.
So he was in the Clinton Correctional Facility back in 1995. He had a Bible. He signed the Bible. Well, the Bible has surfaced. It's his signature on it. Someone is now selling. It's an online dealer. It's called Moments in Time. Anyways, they have placed the Bible. It's up for sale for a cool $54,000.
Wow.
The family says the Tupac estate has nothing behind the sale, but if it does, once it does get sold, because I mean someone's going to buy the Tupac Bible, the family is going to get a portion of the money, so we shall see what happens and if it ends up selling for more than $54,000. It's insane.
That's a lot of money. Hell no.
Yeah. Iggy Azalea, we know about Nick Young and her breakup from a while ago. Those
guys
have been broke up forever.
She kind of fell out.
Yeah, she hasn't really done anything. She's kind of been hiding. She is dating a new guy, though, and so is Nick Young. And he is dating a new, she's a supermodel. She's also a singer. Her name is Paloma Ford. But guess what? She looks identical to Nicki Minaj. And she just used Nick Young's mansion that Nicki bought him, or Iggy bought him, the mansion. And now this Paloma Ford is using the mansion to film her music videos and kind of exploit
who is
the
Nick
whole
Young
thing. That was the dude that was Iggy's fiance.
Yeah, but who is he? Player. Why is he like, why is he a celeb
basketball player?
Oh, okay.
He's just like
NBA.
Yeah, but I thought he rapped too.
He's rich
and been around.
Yeah, he's rich and famous.
So now, but
he's,
if you,
he's out of our circle.
But the thing is, you have to go look at this because
Speak for yourself, Jade.
Sorry, he's out of my circle.
She looks just.
I'm in the Poes circle over here.
In my alternate world, I am rich and famous.
So. I know you are.
You got to go look at her though. She looks just like Nicki. Her music kind of sounds like Nicki. It starts with her ass. She's rolling around in the pool. I mean, in the song.
And what is
called,
Nicki Minaj's connection to Nick Young?
Did I say Nicki Minaj?
You keep saying Nicki. Iggy.
Damn it. I love Nicki Minaj, though. But,
okay, so Nicki Minaj has nothing to do with this at all whatsoever.
No.
Iggy Azalea bought a mansion for Nick Young. Nick Young's new girlfriend, Paloma, is using the mansion to shoot her videos.
And she looks just like Iggy.
And she looks just like Iggy. Okay.
Iggy.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next story, because you just done.
So she bought this guy a house and
sounds
then broke
like
up
it.
With him?
They bought yeah. She bought him all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. She had bought him a car. She took back the car. They got each other engagement rings. They took them back. It's a whole thing. She was rich.
Oh.
It's Iggy Azalea. Wouldn't you buy your man stuff? He's hot,
fancy.
Too. Yeah.
I don't care if I'm rich. My man should still be buying me stuff.
Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, they are expecting their fifth child now.
God.
And even though he was caught cheating back in 2013, they've decided to move past it. She's now pregnant with the fifth kid. They're happy, in love, and they would just like everyone to accept it.
How
please.
Old is she now?
What is she?
She's gonna be in her 40s by now.
Something now.
All right, keep popping them out, girl.
He's in his early 50s.
The more kids she has, the less I have to have.
Yeah, that's very true.
What is it? Your job to keep populating the
planet?
Well,
that's all. That's and that's every woman's job.
I miss that memo.
I don't know if you're. You already did your part. You already repopulated.
I did. I can rest now.
I didn't. I have not. But, you know,
gosh.
We have more people having kids than I don't
I
have.
I just
to
took
have
my
any.
Birth control right now. I'm taking it right now.
Right?
Don't blame you. One little bit.
I had something to say about what's her nuts, but I guess we're moving on.
No, Tori.
Well, I don't know why she's having all these kids again, mainly because she doesn't have that sweet, sweet Aaron Spelling money. Her mom got her out of the will.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, she's not like living on Easy Street. Well, she's not.
No, I know. It's funny, like living on Easy Street. Like in my head, I was like, man, I wish I lived on Easy Street.
You're like, man, I bet that's
God.
Where,
Easy
what
Street
awesome
is
street.
Where I need to find a house.
Yeah.
Didn't they get renewed for a second season?
She's doing another show. She has another reality TV show coming
out.
So it all makes sense.
I mean, she's making money.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, her father's estate just went to Candy's back pocket. So she has to, like, somehow do more stuff because she doesn't, it's not like she has a talent.
Well, that's called life, man. You know, you got to keep working. Even when you're a celebrity and you're rich and famous when you're 20, what happens when you're 40?
I thought she reconciled with her mother.
That doesn't mean she got the money.
That story's been going back and forth for years, that they've gotten along and she helped bail her out. And then they were arguing again. And then grandma came in to help save the children. And so she gave money to Tori and like that type of thing. That story keeps happening over and over again. Yeah, the whole thing is just so weird. Mm. And Tori's face keeps getting more and more plastic and alien looking. I'm assuming after this fifth kid, she's going to have like four more surgeries on her face. Kind of weird. Speaking of face, Miguel, my baby Miguel, sweet sounds of Miguel, he got pissed. He was doing a club promotion last Wednesday. He was just supposed to show up, hang out. He was hosting a party, and the club promoter kept putting the mic in Miguel's face saying, sing, sing, sing. Mm. And it was to the point where it was so obnoxious that Miguel, I mean, he lost it. Miguel freaked out. You know, the security guard had to hold him back, and he's like, get out of my face. And it's just insane. But the people that were there, they all seemed to have a good time. It was a lot of fun. The videos were awesome. But Miguel, if you watch the video online, TMZ has a good video of Miguel. He is one angry little man. Oh, he was angry. So Miguel in the news. He's normally not in the news for anything crazy like that. And Demi Lovato is now saying she's taking 2017 off. She says that it is too much, it's just not worth it anymore, and she doesn't want to be on social media and in the spotlight.
See, why can't I do that? I want to do that.
Yeah, she's got so much
money. I want to be off of social media.
She said, so excited for 2017, taking a break from music and the spotlight. I am not meant for this business and the media.
Oh, please, Demi, you've been done doing it for how many years, though, now?
Oh, but
because you're going through a breakup.
Yes.
You are crazy. You'll be back. This is what you do.
Yes. She goes, I get asked questions, I answer them, sue me. Because remember, also just this week, it came out that Demi Lovato was taking Katy Perry's side, saying that Taylor Swift on what a horrible person she was. And she also took a shot at one of her fans. Kid drew a picture of Demi Lovato looking like a mermaid.
Oh, no.
And Demi Lovato gets on Twitter and responds and says, would my boobs really look like that? And the kid responds back and says, I spent a lot of time and hard work making this picture. I was really proud of it. I guess I'm not anymore. And she like wrote back like, you wasted your own time. Like it was just just a drawing of Demi looking like a mermaid. It wasn't even a big deal. It was like out of all the things you could have responded to, Demi, she's just losing it. I think she's this breakup was harder for her than she's let on, and she's losing her mind.
Who did she break up with?
Wilder Valderrama. They were together for
Fez
6 years.
Fez from That 70s Show.
Yeah.
They were together for, 6 years, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And she's young, though, too. She's younger than all of us, mm-hmm. isn't she? Mid-20s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is she the one who had a problem, went to rehab?
Yes. Yep. She had big coke. Well, coke body issues.
I mean, they all have problems, but yes, she did.
You know, I think that she funded her own rehab center.
Really?
And I think she's actively involved in it.
Good for her.
Yeah. So CBS Sunday Morning just did an expose on her fight to stay sober. And how that she works with other people to try to,
stay the
path.
She might be falling off. I don't know. Something's happening, though. Maybe it's, I don't know. There was another celebrity, and I can't believe I don't remember it, but someone had said, like, this just isn't worth it to me anymore. Just recently, within this week. Damn it, I can't believe I forgot who it was. It was a rapper, though, who said that social media, it's just become too much
for
them.
It's way too much.
I also read something about, it was a little article about millennials and how, what their tastes are. And they said that more and more millennials are falling off social media, not completely ignoring it or eliminating it from their lives, but they are trying to back down because they're realizing what the studies have said all along is that the more you're on social media, the more depressed you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they said, you know, one of the reasons is because everybody posts their best pictures of themselves.
Right.
And you think everybody's having a better life than you are.
Right.
And also, if you start to get trolls, that negative comments really do hurt. It's really hard to put up a tough exterior and block it out. And especially, I think the younger you are, the worse it is.
Oh, yeah.
We all have difficulty. I don't think you ever can really completely block that out. So that's interesting that we're seeing now all these celebrities, especially the women, saying, all right, I'm done. I've had enough.
Yeah,
it's too much. Just like we said earlier today, like it's too much, especially when you are in the public eye, when you are, media, entertainment. This your job is to be on social media, and then you've got to listen to all these a-holes be mean to you, you know what I'm saying, and ridicule you for every little thing that you do. It is hard. And I think for younger kids who are just not, you know, not necessarily in the public eye, but for these young millennials or, you know, teenagers, kids in high school, it's just another way to bully and be mean without a face. And, you know, when you're that young, you can't, your mind can't handle that. And I mean, even as adults, like, I mean, none of us want to sit here and have someone text in, you know, and while you're on the air, like, you suck. You know
Which
what I'm saying?
Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Many a times. Many a times. I had a guy call in and tell me I sucked and ask where Slayer was. I was like, damn it. Al Beck, you SOB.
I used to get called by other disc jockeys' names. There's only so many women in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And continually, you know, they'd call me by two other women in particular, Ann DeLisi and Karen Savelli. They would constantly call me that.
Oh, man. When I feel, when I'm on Ann, do you know how many times people are like, hey, Ann? And I'm like, well, clearly, clearly you're not listening. It's Jade, but sure, I'll try and get your song on. Jackass.
Yeah. You know, and you can't blame them for it. It's a simple mistake for sure. But at the same time, you know, there is so much bullying, so much opportunity for it on the internet. So back away from the social media. It's supposed to be fun. The minute you're not having fun is the minute to turn your back on it. You don't have to plead with people to understand you. You just need, you're supposed to be having fun. That's what it was designed for, right?
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I feel bad for these kids today. I think it's really, it's tough. Tough to be out there with so many opinions.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's being, got an opinion.
It used to be that you would just look at your mom and dad and go, you know, who are you to tell me what to do? But now you've got the entire world telling you what to do and how you should feel and what you should think and why you're such an idiot. And, you know, so, all right, speaking of idiots, what about burying your pet with you? Would you want to be buried with your pet? I mean, like, some people want to be in the same casket with the dog or the cat. We're going to explore that next on the Weekly Reveal and also find out which ways do women hate to be described as. A couple of words immediately come to mind.
Bitch.
We'll find out if your word, if that word is on the list. Coming up next on the Weekly Reveal.
Did you miss the last Weekly Reveal? Stream the podcast online at riff2.com. We're back on the Weekly Reveal with Jade, Ann, Lynn, and Erica.
Well, death is never a pleasant subject, but this is kind of interesting to find out what people want to be buried with. Sometimes it's their pets. So there is a woman, a Mrs. Hutcherson in New York City, and she's a dog walker. She plans to be buried with her family, which would be her Yorkshire Terrier, Chihuahua mix, and her cat, Sweetie. So
does she understand that humans often outlive?
Yes, this is my question. So Tinka and Sweetie will be allowed to rest in peace in her family's plot because Governor Cuomo recently signed a law allowing cemeteries for people to enter pets alongside their owner. Some people actually want them in the casket. That's how close they are to the cats. But the new law permits only cremated remains of pets to be buried. Religious cemeteries, of course, are exempt from all this. And cemeteries are not obliged to accept animals, but now they can if they want to. So,
do you even understand how many animals that were not even pets are buried in my parents' backyard?
Oh, go on. This is
so
a
many.
Story.
Well, there's at least three or four cats that were our cats.
Oh.
Our family dog, the first family dog. Numerous rabbits, numerous birds, probably a couple of squirrels. There are a lot of animals. And that's what the backyard is for. Although I lived in the middle of nowhere, kind of on a farm. So we could bury, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just going to say, I'm like, where the hell did you live? I'm like, oh, that's right. You did live in the, you know,
in the sticks. Yeah,
the middle of nowhere.
So we have a whole pet cemetery. We actually did, for our cats and dog, make little tombstones for them.
No way.
Yep. Yep, yep.
There are pet cemeteries, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would never... I mean, maybe I'm fortunate to have had...
I have a movie that scarred me as an adult.
A family that lived...
Stephen King.
We had property to where we could bury the animals, you know, in the backyard. But I wouldn't pay. Nah. We did bury a goldfish, too.
What? That's what
he had
the
lived.
For.
No, he lived for like 15 years. He
oh,
was
God.
Like a 15-year Mr. Fishy. That was his name.
Original.
Yeah, he couldn't see... there was like a film that had formed over his eyes, and then he still lived like another 6 years
after
that.
Did he keep swimming into the glass?
Yes, he did. He did. He swam into the glass a lot, actually.
What's that noise?
Then, yeah,
oh, it's the fish swimming
Mr.
into the glass.
Is fishy.
Yeah, but he couldn't remember because he's a goldfish, and so
could you tell that he couldn't remember?
Yeah, no, he couldn't see, so he just swam into everything. But he was with me for 15 years, so I was like, Mom, I gotta bury Mr. Fishy. So we did.
I feel like the last couple weeks I've been dealing with people who don't know how to deal with actual people and only know how to deal with their pets. And I'm like over pets at this moment in time. Like, I don't get, it's an animal. It's going to die. Okay. I loved my family dog. It was awesome, but it's dead now. It's dead. And we move on.
Well, the cemetery law is one in a series of steps taken by New York to make it a more pet-friendly state. And a law passed last year actually allowed dogs to join their owners at outdoor tables at restaurants, which I have seen here in Detroit. I have two dogs I love. They're foster dogs or strays,
rescue
dogs. I intend on getting more dogs once they're gone, but I have a problem with an animal in the place that I'm eating.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing when you've got like the assist dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
assisted
like,
dogs
that's
is
different.
A necessity.
Yeah. Right, right. That's what I'm saying, because I used to work in a restaurant and I mean, people would come in and then they've got those things like the cat cafes, you know, where you go and like you can get like a scone and play with cats. And I'm like,
oh, God, are you kidding me?
I love cats and I would love to be in a room
you
with 57 kittens. But
pet
I know
the cat
well,
that's, at the
no,
same time?
That's the thing. Oh. I have a problem with that. I do not want to go to a coffee shop that's like cat friendly. That's the whole operation is to just have cats running around where you can go and hang out with cats. I don't think the cats should be in the kitchen.
I had a friend when we were young. I swear every single time, and it took me a minute because I was young. Every meal that her mom made, I ate her dog's hair.
Oh.
Not on purpose. I would take a bite and there would be a dog hair, and it was every single time. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little while as I got older to be like, no, I'm good on I can't come over because I told my mom that you have dog hair in your food, and she told me I'm not allowed to come over.
Yeah.
And that's like, told my mommy.
One time.
I had
a
friend in high school who had, I think his mom was like a flight attendant, and so she wasn't home a lot. And we used to party over there, and he had like 11 or 12 cats.
Ugh,
and I remember know. Sitting on the couch and seeing a cat pop its head out of the crock pot that was sitting on the floor, and I was like,
okay. Yeah, see, it's
oh my.
What was the crock pot doing on the floor?
I don't know.
Let's start there.
I don't know.
And why were you hanging out that house? It probably stunk. I don't care if
it
the mom's
stink.
Not there.
It did stink.
Because like,
it was. He didn't stink. My friend didn't stink. You know, the house definitely did, but. You know, we were friends, and it was a party, and I was 17, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to the cat house to get real drunk with my friends.
I'm going to tell you this story really quickly. It's so crazy and out of this world, and I could never repeat it, but we're talking about animals and death, so
hell
I can
yeah.
tell this. Back in the day, there was this guy, worked at a gas station, a quick stint, I was like 18. There was this crazy guy that worked there, and he had this woman that he dated, and she was the cat lady. They lived out in the middle of nowhere, and they had like over 100 cats.
Hoarders.
And what would happen is not all of the cats or kittens would survive.
Right.
Oh, no.
This guy volunteered this information to me. Oh, yeah, it's about to get weird.
Oh, no.
And so what they would do is, because if it was winter, the ground is frozen, you can't bury the cats, they had a separate freezer where they would put frozen kittens
no!
to keep them, to bury them, because there were so many cats reproducing. And they had a trailer, and an abandoned trailer for the other cats. The cats had their own home. I saw it once, and it was out of a Stephen King movie, and I'll never forget it. And every once in a while, when someone talks about their kitten, I'll think about cats in a freezer somewhere, and I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, that's a bit
therapy.
Much.
Therapy right there.
The cat hoarders, like when you watch hoarders on TV and they've got like 45. Oh, God, it's gross.
Yeah, to see over
I don't need that many cats.
When you would walk up and they would run, oh, I could die.
There's a mansion down in Miami where these people died and left the mansion to the cats. And enough money to sustain them. So until the very last cat breathes its very last breath, no one is in that mansion except for the cats.
So they left a bunch of money for cats to go purchase
to
themselves?
To maintain the mansion.
So who is maintaining the mansion?
There's a person
okay.
who worked for the family that maintains the mansion and maintains the cats.
You had better have left me a grip.
Well,
of cash
it's disgusting.
To have to maintain the cat mansion.
And there were several. So I'm sure. It's going to be years before that thing goes on the market.
But I mean, how are they going to know that they're dead? So how are they going to know if, oh, oops, okay, well.
Mittens is gone. Mittens is gone. Something
looks like Mittens and all of his friends are.
I can't believe how much Mittens we just talked about cats.
Well, we know that I'm a cat lady in training right now. I just got a bunch of cat like decor at my house, but I don't actually have any cats.
I listened to the last episode, and I see you in a new light now.
Oh yeah.
I'm like,
oh yeah.
Wow.
I'm a cat lady.
Like, you're gonna be the type of cat lady that throws her cats at people.
Never.
Cats!
Never.
Yeah!
I'm gonna be the cat lady that's got like four of them under one arm, and they're all like meow. And I'm just like, I love my kitties.
I never try to have an animal that I can physically throw at someone. And that includes small dogs. Okay, so ladies, there are a lot of words that describe women. And some of them we really, really don't like. And so somebody actually conducted a survey to find out which ones we absolutely hate. So here is the top 10 ways that women hate to be described as.
Okay.
So let's find out if your word is on this list, Jade.
Okay.
Number 10, princess.
I don't mind. Call me princess. I am a princess. I'm a goddamn queen.
I mean, I suppose that depends on the context.
You're right.
Like, I mean, it's one thing when you were little and your parents called you princess. Like, if I'm out with like a group of friends and some guy's trying to hit on me and he's like, hey, princess. No. Like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Get the hell away from me.
I might be like, okay.
It depends. If it was said in a condescending way, I'd be like, yeah, and you're my jester. Go entertain me.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to remember that.
That's a good one. Yeah, I think that depends on the context.
Number 9 is motherly.
Oh, I'll admit I'm motherly sometimes, but like way more than I need to be, so I don't mind that.
I mean, again, that depends on the context. I mean, is that necessarily a bad thing? You know what I'm saying? Because we all know that women are more observant. Women are better at a lot of things. And I think that when it comes to like safety and motherly things, like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I think that makes you sound like you're really old. I always try to say nurturing.
Yeah.
Women are the nurturing sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's
motherly
better than motherly.
Sounds like you've got gray hair and a shawl around your
right, and
your
probably
shoulders.
Like 15 kids and then 37 grandkids and probably 47. Well, if you're motherly,
oh,
though.
You just described Jade.
Yeah.
In about 20, 30, 40
I wish
40
that everyone
years.
On the radio could see the finger I'm holding up right now.
Number 8, high strung.
Yeah, I don't want to be called that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but I am. So I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be called high strung than high maintenance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good one.
You know?
Number 7 is diva.
Eh.
I can become a diva sometimes. I don't know.
I mean, it's one thing if you can admit, like, yeah, I'm being a diva, I guess. I don't know. It depends on the context. Like, if I'm being a diva and you call me out, then and I deserve to be called a diva, then sure. If you're just mad because I'm awesome and I'm doing things the way I should be doing them and you're mad because your life sucks, then suck it.
Right.
I'm sure Diana Ross doesn't mind being called a diva. She owns it.
Right.
Number 6 is ball buster.
I like that one.
No, call me a ball buster. Oh, are you sad about it? Oh, are you sad, man? Can't handle it? Can't handle a woman who knows how to put you in your place? Too bad.
Quit being such a dick so I don't have to be a ball buster.
Right.
I think that sometimes women who are in suits every day and who work in the corporate world, sometimes, you know, instead of saying that she's tough or aggressive, you know, that's kind of a way to demean her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if for us it means one thing, for a woman who's in heels and a suit every day, it might mean something
else.
Well,
and that's the thing, though, that goes back to, like, you know, when a man is a manager and he's telling you, like, he's being a boss.
Yeah, he's being assertive.
He's being a boss. He's being boss man big. When a woman is in a management position and she's putting someone in their place, you've done something wrong, I have to put you, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's that's a double standard. It's the same thing with, oh, she's a ball buster. Like, oh, no, like, she's doing her job.
Yeah.
And you just can't handle it because you're a man and your pee-pee's real small.
Number 5 would be hysterical.
I mean, am I being hysterical? If I'm not being hysterical, don't call me hysterical.
I've seen men get hysterical.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Right. If I'm being hysterical, then sure, I'm sure there's a reason. You probably pissed me off and
I'm
did something real stupid.
Being called hysterical, like, because I'm hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like a hysterical, like, you are out of control, freaking out.
Hysterical.
Oh, you're being
crying.
Emotionally hysterical. Right. Oh, you're PMSing, you're being hysterical. No, I'm just saying, put the goddamn dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not being hysterical. You're pissing me off.
Right.
Once again, I think it's a way to kind of demean a woman's argument.
Yep.
And I think that sometimes, like, especially in my life, because I've dealt with men mostly in my work life, is that I've been really cautious to not sound hysterical, mm-hmm. to make my point in a very clear, concise way without getting too crazy about it, because I never wanted to be labeled that.
Right.
Number four is high maintenance. And this kind of makes me laugh because the guys who used to work with me, that was their nickname for me, high maintenance Ann. If I asked them to do anything for me, they'd go, oh, yeah, because you're, you know, high maintenance Ann.
Right.
You know, HMA. And at first I took a little offense to it because I thought, wow, really? And then I realized that it was just their joke. And
they were bigger. They were more high maintenance than you, probably.
Yeah. Right. It was something, you know, it was kind of like their, I don't know. It was their way of, joking around with
ball
me.
Ball busting you.
Yeah.
Busting your balls.
So I couldn't take offense to that.
I wish that I was high maintenance. I'm literally wearing Adidas track pants from like 1980 right now and a sweater I stole from my dad. I've tried to be high maintenance.
It's just hard.
It's too much. Too much for
me. I can't depend on someone else to maintain me. You know, like, I can't afford to be high maintenance because none of y'all are maintaining me. You're not really doing anything for me.
Well, I think that all four of us have seen high maintenance women,
okay.
And it's absolutely almost scary.
Yeah.
It's scary to me to see how much they get away with.
Yeah.
Yep. And how much they're catered to.
Yep.
Me and my wildest dreams wouldn't ask for some of the things I've seen other women ask for. And maybe, again, Lynn, maybe that's what our fault is.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is bitchy. I think that word, that connotation has kind of decreased over the last decade.
I will call a man a little bitch any day of the week.
All day,
like, if you're
every
being
day.
A bitch, man or woman, you're being a bitch, you know? But, I mean, there's a different context. Like, are you being a bitch because you're being mean? Or are you being, like, a little bitch because you're being, like, a little whiny bitch? Like, bitch can take, I mean...
I was sending
snaps to Lynn this morning about I was making my shower my bitch. Like, I made the shower drain my bitch. I made Facebook my bitch. Like,
and then it can also be a term of affection. Like, I can't count how many times I said, hey, bitch, what's up?
Right. Like, you know? Like, yeah, same thing. Like, with Lynn and I, like, I'll send her a message. Yo, bitch. Like,
yeah, so. It's in the modern day vernacular
as
almost a term of affection.
Yeah, it depends on how you're using it.
Number two is drama queen. Well, I think the people who are drama queens would take offense to being called a drama queen. And that's the only thing I have to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a drama queen and you get called that, well...
You laugh. You're like, huh.
Yeah. It's like, well, you obviously have never seen a drama queen because
right.
I have.
Right.
So if that's, to me, is like, take offense to it, then maybe you
be
are.
Be a little less drama.
This number one word to me is the one that gets me. Out of all these 10 words, this is the one, hormonal.
Mm.
And I for
Please,
some
tell
reason,
me more about my hormones.
It starts like low down in my gut and I can start feeling the rage start to come forward because it is just, you have just demeaned everything about me in one fell swoop.
Yep.
So I should maybe just go home right now and go to bed. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I should
that
go
I should
down
not and... be living my life, that I should just excuse myself from the planet because of something that's happening to me that I have no control over.
Yeah.
And it was really something that I was really aware of, that I not come into work, not take that into my life, you know, when that happened on a, you know, every month. And I was really aware of that. But I think that it's just too easy for people to look at you and go, oh, you're just being hormonal today.
Right. They chalk it up like
that.
Yeah.
And even if it's happening, then it's none of your business.
Right.
And if it isn't happening, then F you.
I have actually never had anyone call me hormonal. I know. Like, I know when I'm being psycho. But
me too.
For me, I'm such a psycho all the time. That, like, and angry and mean, That like no one can tell. Like no one knows. Am I being hormonal or am I just being Jade? Because that's just how I am all the time.
Yeah, you're like a master of disguise.
Mm-hmm.
But don't some women use that as an excuse as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's infuriating.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is.
But I think some women will use anything as an excuse just to be mean.
Yeah.
Or to cause, you know, to be drama queens.
Yeah.
Right.
Say, oh, just excuse me. It's the same thing that people use. Oh, I was too drunk. Mm-hmm. It's just don't.
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. And what you're doing is that for the rest of us women who are really trying to get along, you know, with the rest of the planet and try to keep our problems to ourselves, you're not doing us any favors.
You're making us look bad. Yeah.
So the C word didn't make the cut, huh?
It did not.
Wow.
It did not.
That was the only word I was waiting for.
I thought that's where you were going with number one. I'm like, here it comes.
No, it did not. But I think it's just, I think it's so vulgar.
Yeah,
that
that's
maybe
a very
that's not
word.
What the study was looking
okay.
for. It was just looking for like everyday titles.
Okay, because yeah. I use the C word a lot because sometimes it's just appropriate.
I use it on occasion. I gotta really feel strongly negatively about someone to bust that one out usually. But I don't hate it. But I don't wanna be called it. Unless I'm being one.
That's kind of the worst, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but England has totally embraced the C word. It's not even like a word anymore. It's like a comma. It's fantastic.
If you say it joking, that's fine. I'll probably laugh. But if you were to honestly say that to me, I'm going to literally put my hands around your throat.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the same thing, though, like with bitch. Like I had someone, like they were joking, but they were like testing the waters. And they were like, oh, okay, listen, bitch. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you should say that. You shouldn't say that to me. You should never say that to me ever again. It was like, oh, okay. I was just, yeah. I
guess,
just testing the waters. So that's one that you don't like. And it's like I said, it depends on the context. But you saying it like that, I'll kill you.
Allegedly. I think it also depends, too. Does it not sound differently coming from a man than mm-hmm. a woman? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we do have double standards in our lives. You know, and if a man comes up to you, even jokingly, even a good friend, even family, whatever, some of these words are not going to fly.
I have a boss at my other job who jokingly called me bitch, and it set me back. I was like, oh, you are not one of my bitches, so you can't call me bitch. And
yeah.
Now I might hurt you.
Going down. I'm going to make the news.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
these four hormonal bitches are about to go cause some drama in our high maintenance
yeah.
world. So thank you so much for joining us on the Weekly Reveal, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Reveal on Riff 2 Detroit.